Chapter 6, The High Table. The Lake Sea landed on top of Rackmead, throwing him on his back, its front legs pinning him to the ground. He immediately began to lash out, slicing at the animal's legs in a wild array. Slash after slash, Rackmead chipped away at the magic that had built up around its limbs. The glass glowed a vibrant red as he continuously sunk his blades through its flesh. Its talons were tearing into his shoulders, but he didn't care. Turning his attention to the underbelly that hung above him, he sunk the blades in deep and began to tear at its insides, trying desperately to get at the Lakesea's heart that lied within. "Down!" Caden's voice erupted above him and he dropped the blades, falling flat to his back. Caden drove the spear down hard, its tip piercing through the creature's chest, splattering Rackmead's face with blood and guts. He wiped the blood from his face and looked up. The fiery soul stone shone at the center of the Lakesea, and Rackmead reached in, his hands wrapping around the heart. He pulled his arms back, ripping the heart from the Lakesea, the creature crumbling around him. Rackmead grabbed a blade in his hand and cut through its back, breaking free and pulling himself out. As his hand breached the surface, reaching through the ichor within, he felt Caden's familiar hand grasp his own. Caden pulled and lifted Rackmead to his feet. "Good aim," Rackmead said, cracking a smile as he brushed the guts off of his clothes. Caden started to say something but stopped as they both stared off beyond the cage, at the four hunters occupied with the other Lakesea. They should have killed it already, but the downed Lakesea was larger than the one they had defeated. Rackmead felt certain his friend was having a similar thought, but they were preoccupied and there was a lot of movement at the forest's edge. Rackmead and Caden moved in unison, throwing one arm over the other as they climbed up the glass bars and dropped off the other side. Leaves crunched under Rackmead's feet as he landed, bending his knees to soften the land. As he popped up and started forward, Caden rolled as he hit the ground. Caden fell out of mind as Rackmead headed towards the forest's edge. As he ran, he unsheathed one of his short swords and held it in a ready position. As Rackmead came across the hunters in the net, the beast had finally been trapped. Knowing that the seasoned hunters would be better pressed to deal with the oncoming onslaught than Caden or himself, Rackmead headed straight for them and dropped to his knees as he finally made it. "Caden and I will finish it off," Rackmead said, patting Barnish on the shoulder and getting his attention. The Fire Lakesea was tied up in the net already. All that needed to be dealt was the final blow. As Rackmead said that, the other hunters finished setting stakes into the net to secure it. By the time Caden made it to his side, the four hunters had already broken away, headed towards the group of approaching beasts. "I've got it," Caden said as he put his knees and palms down on the other side of the net, constricting its hold on the Lakesea even more, keeping it pinned further to the ground. The creature wriggled in discomfort and pain as little bits of flame broke off with a fiery red as the magic was sapped. As Caden held the creature down, Rackmead stood and walked across the net, getting as close to the creature as he could manage, still being wary of the jagged edges that ringed its outline and its claws. He knelt down and raised the short sword before driving it down with both hands, sinking it into the side of the Lakesea's chest. The beast cried out in agony, its flames growing larger as it expelled the last bit of energy it had. Rackmead was thrown back by the hot gas and fell to the ground. He looked up in time to see the creature groan one last moan as its eyes blinked out and its head fell to the ground, hard. Their issue now dealt with, his attention drifted beyond the two of them, watching as two water Lakeseas bounded towards the group. Their gait was similar to the fire Lakeseas when they approached, but their appearance was a different thing entirely. They didn't quite have the rough, hard exteriors that their brethren before them did, but instead moved fluidly like their namesake. Their forms seemed to pulse and congeal into a nearly fully physical body one moment, but would dissipate into a pool of liquid the next. When physical, wisps of water broke off from the liquid cloud that forever encapsulated them. The wisps would edge out away from the body and then circle back on themselves. Barnish hoisted up a glass spear and chucked it, aiming straight for the Lakesea that was fast approaching. Rekmeen was already expecting for the lake sea to liquefy and for the spear to sail right through, only managing to pull and absorb the little magic that touched it. But he was surprised by what he saw. One of the water wisps broke off from the lake sea and sailed straight towards the spear, knocking it to the side. As the spear was redirected, the wisp faded as they were sapped entirely by the glass. The now blue spear sank into a nearby tree. There's more to the lake seas than they ever taught, Rekmeen thought, realizing what he had seen and what else it meant the lake seas were capable of. The correlation terrified him and excited him to learn more. He wouldn't have to wait long. Bring the damned net, Barnes shouted, turning back and staring at Rekmeen as he unsheathed the glass sword from his hip. Shield, on me, he screamed at one of the hunters as he gestured in front of him with the hilt of his sword. The hunter ran up to him quickly and crouched, holding the shield up in front of them in a readied position. On the other side of the path, the two hunters stood, one wielding a spear behind his teammate's shield. Rekmeen quickly picked up the net and started to run, Kaden trailing with his spear behind him. The two Lakesies stood side by side, slowly inching their way closer to the hunters. The two groups of hunters converged together and stood at the ready, bracing themselves for oncoming attack. Rekmeen came between the four of them and tossed the net in front of him, readying his short sword in the other hand. The net connected with one of the Lakesies and wrapped around it, sapping essence from it as it collapsed to the ground. The hunter with the spear moved forward and drove the glass tip into the Lakesy's forehead. The other creature jumped to the side and dodged the net, aiming directly for Barnish. As it leapt through the air, angled towards their leader, Kaden launched the spear he held in his hand and it soared through the air, sinking into the monster's gut. As the creatures around them turned to lifeless husks, the group of hunters stilled for a moment, listening for signs of any other lake seas that would be drawn by their deaths. It seems our hunt is done for today, Barnes said as he turned to the others. Good work. Rekmeen approached the entrance to the fifth sector and saw the recruit standing there, clutching a roll of tobacco between his fingers. After the hunt, Kaden and himself departed ways. His friend would have to check in with his captain before heading to the bar, and Rekmeen wanted to walk Anthony to the bar himself. Does it get easier? Anthony asked as he brought the roll away from his mouth, his hand shaking slightly. No, Rekmeen responded quickly, but you get used to it, he said. You accept it for what it is, and try your best not to think about it. Anthony laughed nervously. In that case, I could really use that drink. That's what I thought, Rekmeen responded as he chuckled. As they made their way through Varn City and towards the inn, the two of them talked. Anthony asked him a lot of questions about being a silencer, why he had joined, how long it took him to get the S-Pin, and how he felt about being so close to working in the field. Rekmeen answered every question the boy asked, though the first gave him more pause than the others. How long was your shift today, Anthony? He asked, realizing the thought had not occurred to him since the beginning of his own. 15 hours, he said with a sigh, before taking another drag on the roll he held. It was the second one he had lit since they started their walk. Rekmeen laughed and shook his head. He went to speak when a man dressed in ragged clothing stepped in front of them. Pieces of rotted fruit clung to his beard and he smelled of piss. Got news for you, sir, the beggar said as he raised his hand. News worthy of coin? Rekmeen asked as he turned his head towards him. What other news is that? The man asked, an excited smile on his face. Rekmeen nodded for him to continue. The word of death will return, crawling free of the Whispering River. And where did you hear this? Oh, from the Silent Forest, of course, the man said as he held out his hand expectantly, his smile growing wider. Rekmeen nodded and handed the man a coin. Who was that? Anthony asked as the beggar departed. Iris the Mad, an inksayer of old, drove himself insane when he burned out decades ago. Barely even remembers he was ever an inksayer half the time. After they cut his words and realized he could no longer write, they let him go, but why did you pay him? Although most of what he says is nonsense, there will come a day where he will tell me something real, Rachmide said as they cut through a street that ran perpendicular to the inn. Do you really think that will happen? Anthony asked as Rachmide opened the door for him. I don't see why not. People like Iris see, hear, and understand things in ways that we cannot imagine, Rachmide said as Anthony entered the inn he followed after. The recruit stepped aside as Rachmide moved forward and headed to the bar. Excuse me, ma'am, Rachmide said to the servant as they approached. She turned to look at him. Yes? I'm looking for... There was an eruption of loud voices and booming laughter. Never mind, Rachmide said with a laugh. I think I know where they are. Rachmide walked past a group of orders guard at standing tables and pushed in between a blacksmith and his apprentice, Anthony steadily in tow. Finally, the pair made their way to the far end of the bar and up two stairs which led to a lifted table which seated six silencers. It looks like we finally moved up in the world, Rachmide said as he stepped towards the table. Aye, the snobby noble and his whores are elsewhere tonight, Barnish replied before he took a swig of ale. There was a silence for a moment before they all burst into laughter. Who's the boy? And where's his S-pin? Barnish asked as he gripped his own pin between two fingers, his thumb lingering on the circle that surrounded it. Are our knights now open to recruits? I invited him. We had an inksayer mid-word spell trying to escape. Anthony did what was necessary and I thought he could use a drink. There was a look of understanding exchanged between everyone at the table. Well, Anthony, I've seen plenty of silencers get this pin while never deserving it, and a handful of men who earn it months before they are rewarded. Tonight, you drink like a silencer! The group cheered in response. Rachmide left the table and headed to the bar to get some ale, leaving the seven of them to exchange pleasantries. Two ales, ma'am, he said to the servant as he stopped before the bar. While he waited, Rachmide turned and looked around the inn. He was about to turn back when he saw the short blonde hair and black spectacles. Caden waved at him as he walked through the inn. He was tall and skinny like Jairus, but his muscles were cut and his hair was short, not long and swept to the side. And when his shaded spectacles were off, his eyes were a brilliant blue, a distinction that had helped him more than once. The spectacles were a common thing for silencers, but Caden deftly managed a way to make them his own. Rachmide handed one of the mugs to his friend as they met up. So where are we tonight? He asked as they walked towards the end of the inn. The high table, Rachmide said as they made their way around a table. Moving up after all, Caden laughed. How was the prison today? We had an inksayer try to escape Sector 5, Rachmide said as they came to the stairs. Recruit? Caden asked. Rachmide raised his mug and pointed it at Anthony. Caden nodded as he made his way up the stairs. The name's Caden, he said as he held out his hand to the recruit. How do you find yourself, boy? He asked as Anthony shook his hand. We have shown him a good time. All problems can be forgotten when you sit at the royal table, Barnish shouted as he raised his mug into the air. Rachmide and the others met his with their own, and they each took a swig. Thanks again, Anthony said as he raised his ale to Rachmide. He nodded with a smile as he met the boys with his own. Not to ruin everyone's good time, Caden said as he took a seat, but I have something to report. Everyone set their mugs down and turned to look at him. They found another one. The Nightwalker, Barnish asked before he picked his mug back up and took a swig. Caden nodded. They found a toothpick on a table at Sleem's. They think it was a Yanto. No one's seen him since. Left a wife and daughter behind, he responded as he took a drink. Yanto Cormac, the council member of Sitar City? Barnish asked. Caden nodded. Left Revis, Mysis, and Zerm Lasta running for his seat. Revis should be the new member next week. Was it a bishop toothpick? Anthony piped up. You've heard the stories, Rachmide asked. Of the Nightwalker? Anthony asked before taking a swig. I'd find it hard to believe if anyone in Mineheart did not know about our most dangerous assassin. They are just stories, Rackmead said before taking a swig of beer. Aye, but every story is built around a bit of truth, Barnish said as he leaned into the table. You know, they say he wears colored glass just over the irises to hide his amber eyes, he said as he touched his bottom eyelid. Makes it so he can walk around during the day, like you or me, the man said as he pointed at Anthony and then back at himself. The Nightwalker could be anyone. He could even be a silencer. For your sake, Rackmead, I pray it is not Jairus, Caden said as he lifted his mug towards Rackmead and took a drink. Hell, for all our sakes, I pray it is not Jairus, Varin said. The table burst into laughter. It was the first thing Rackmead had heard him say all night. That would be a story, wouldn't it? The Nightwalker catching himself, Barnish joked. It was not uncommon for the silencers to dislike Jairus. He was decent at his job, surely, but he tended to abuse it. His attitude had always rubbed Rackmead the wrong way, and he was not the only one. It was made evident time and time again by the fact that Rackmead, Caden, and now even Anthony had joined the silencers at the table before they left the prison, filling a spot that would have been Jairus's had he wanted it. The night continued the same way for little more than an hour before Rackmead decided to take his leave. He had had more than enough ale, and after making sure that Anthony wanted to stay with the silencers, he paid for his drinks and departed. Making his way through the city, he saw a butcher as he dumped the undesired cuts from the day into a bin to take home, and further down, a woman filling a bucket with water from the well. He was reminded once again of how different Varn City was at night than in the mornings when he left for his shift. Opening the door to his house, he stepped into the kitchen and noticed the dim light the few lit candles cast. Fareev is already sleeping, Cecilia said as she came around the corner. She was in a beige nightgown, her long brown hair that she usually wore up, hanging loosely around her neck. Her face was void of the paint she often wore, and Rackmead could see the wrinkles before he saw the frown. She had been gifted with the youthful face of their mother, while she bore the weathered eyes of their father. I'm sorry, I will... Rackmead began to say, as he stared through blurred eyes before he was cut off. Make it up to him tomorrow? Cecilia interrupted. Good. He said as much when I tucked him in, she said with a smile. How was your shift, brother? Rackmead's eyes cast downwards as he thought of what to say. That bad? Perhaps it was a good thing you stayed out and drank. I promise it will not... Rackmead stopped as his sister held up a hand. Rackmead, I do not need your apologies. You provide more than enough for us. Cannot work until Fareev is old enough to become a recruit or join the guard, Rackmead offered. He will become a silencer and you know it as well as I. It is all he talks about when you are away. But I want him to make a life for himself before he does. Ever since Talis left us, you've taken care of us and I could not be more thankful, she said as she walked up to him and gave him a hug. I haven't changed your basin yet. It'll be fresh before the morning. Thank you, Cecilia. Get some rest soon, he said, as they broke from the hug. He departed the kitchen and walked towards his bedroom. It always made him sad when she thanked him. There was no reason to it. Taking care of her was something Rackmead had done most of his life. Their mother had been killed by a wild lake sea just before the dark days, and their father had always worked long shifts in the Order's guard. Being 2 years older, it fell to Rackmead to take care of his sister. And when her husband had been arrested the year before, Rackmead saw fit to take the two in. His brother-in-law had used spoken writing to protect Cecilia and Fareev from a group of thugs, and Rackmead had been the one to arrest him for it. A fact he tried to forget. Moving into his bedroom, he closed the door and took off his leather jacket. Hanging it on the door, Rackmead made his way to the bed and pried the floorboard from beneath. He set the gold coins he had left from the day inside and replaced the floorboard. Standing, he removed his pants and changed into his silk slacks. He lay on the bed with his head on the pillow, looking up at the ceiling. It was nearly pitch black in his room, but he was able to make out some things. He sighed to himself and smiled for a moment as shapes and images danced before his eyes. Sleep started to come quicker than expected when he heard a voice scream. Rakhmid sat up in bed and waited to see if he heard it again.
"Help!"
A tortured voice screamed from outside his window. Looking through the window, Rakhmid saw an old man, lying on his back, screaming in agony. I hope you enjoyed that episode. Check out next episode for Chapter 7, The Marked Child. And as always, the song I used was Fluidscape by Kevin McLeod and Incompetech.com, licensed under Creative Commons by Attribution. Licensed under Creative Commons by Attribution 3.0 license at http://creativecommons.org/licenses/by/3.0.